You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Yes, hello everybody, welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Just the one event this week. We're looking ahead to the Shell Houston Open. No Dave Kellner this week, so my name is Mark Walton, filling in the presenter's chair, luckily still joined by our two pundits here on the William Hill Golf Podcast. Starting first of all with the man to my right-hand side, Mike Grenham. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Mark. Welcome to the podcast. Dave's sunning it in Las Vegas, yeah. We believe. Where he'll be going to bed early and not gambling at all, I would think.
If I know Dave, that will be the case.
That'll be the case. Yeah. What do you think, Mr. Tindall?
Yeah, not that he's doing it, funding it from his golf winnings last week, I understand.
Oh, no, he didn't have any winners,
no? I don't think so.
Oh, dear. Oh.
Perhaps, was there a Cheltenham horse he won big on?
I don't think he wasn't cheering very often.
No, I didn't. No. But you, David Tindall, had a place last week, didn't you, in the Puerto Rican event? So yeah. Worth mentioning that.
The one where no one was taking any notice of at all. Mm. 80-1 Sam Saunders got a three-way share of fifth. And because we here at William Hill are betting a fifth the first six, it meant the each-way payout was two-thirds of the stake rather than a half, so that, it worked quite well there.
Very good.
Nice.
But we didn't have any. We didn't have Dustin Johnson, did we, in the big gun?
No. I can't
not that it was that hard to find, but...
I can't say I was close to putting him up, really. No. I mean, you could easily say, yeah, he's the best player playing the best in the world, but... did you have Bill Haas, or did you just give him a good mention?
I didn't have Bill Haas. I gave him a decent mention, but he played very well, didn't he, Bill?
Yeah.
Tanihara played very well, by the way. He beat Spieth and got all the way through to the semi-finals. I had a little bit on running on him, so he'd give me a bit of interest as well. But two very good players in the final, weren't they?
Yeah, it was the dream final, although just was it the greatest final in the end? They were kind of running out of steam, weren't they? Rahm sort of lost the plot, didn't he, for a while? Mm, and then DJ was sort of fell over the line a little bit.
Mm. It's seven rounds.
It's a long, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they play two on Saturday, and then you're playing two on Sunday. And obviously they're fit athletes these days. These players, particularly Johnson. But it does take. I'm not surprised Johnson's out this week of the.
He's pulled out with fatigue. Yeah, with the Masters next week. Yeah, I think it was a wise move.
I have to confess, here's a bit of after timing for you. that Dave Kellner, who's not here this week, has been going on so much about John Rahm for the Masters that I've actually backed him at 50s for the Masters.
Right.
Which I wouldn't have done if it wasn't for Dave's promptings, if I'm being really honest. And even when I did back him, didn't realise how good he was, because he's got even better since I backed him.
Yeah.
If I was his manager, I wouldn't be having him playing
this week.
Yeah,
so get out of this week, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a mistake.
I think it really hurts his chances next week.
You know, so my... I'm still happy to have 50-1 when, as Mark's just pulled up, he's 20s now.
Yeah, shrewd. But,
no, it was honestly, it was DK's promptings. I just thought, if this fella wins the Masters, then I'm not backed him 11 at the end of it. So,
well, you could probably do with him missing the cut here, then, couldn't you?
Really could.
Yeah.
Because I think if he goes, if he's in contention here after that seven round, he's got to have some impact on a course. He's going then to Augusta. Shouldn't he be going to Augusta early to? Having never played there, I don't understand it. As brilliant as he is, there's a mistake there somewhere to me. So
we are only recording this on Tuesday, and he could yet pull out, I guess.
He could pull out. He could. He could miss the cut. So you're right. I think, he's an outstanding player, but I'm not sure the prep. If he's in contention here, I'd be thinking my 50-1 didn't look.
Because his head went a bit, didn't it, in the final and against
early
Johnson.
On, but he fought back.
He did. Yeah.
Yeah, and he played ever so well all week. So. I think he was allowed to have a few bad holes, wasn't he?
Yeah.
You know, he's certainly not a bottler by any means. He's a surefire major winner, isn't he?
He's a massive talent, isn't he?
Yeah.
Just want to pick up on a point about DJ as well. You mentioned that he's not going to play in this event this week. That means that he heads into the Masters as a player that comes here on the back of three consecutive tournament victories. First man to do that since Rory McIlroy back in 2014 when he was on a real golden run. He's dominating at the moment, isn't he, just Dustin Johnson? It's probably good that he's missing this week.
I actually, you're right there by saying he matched Rory. So I was thinking, well, to win the Masters, then that means he's got to win four in a row.
Yeah.
And I had a look back. I think the last person to do that, as you might expect, was Tiger, 2008. Mm. So it's very, very rare. Hard. I mean, and that's Tiger for you. He's got his own rules and laws. So it's very, very hard for someone to do it.
Yeah, but probably the best player of all time, and Dustin Johnson isn't close to that, is he? I mean, he's playing very well at the moment, but you know, he's not in that league, is he? So, of a Nicholas or a Woods, but fantastic player though, and he's playing some good golf, isn't he?
But could you let him go at 5-1 for the Masters? I could.
Oh,
I
could definitely. He wouldn't be my first choice in the Masters anyway, if I'm being honest. But that's for next week.
It is.
Don't you be trying to lure us in.
Just trying to get an idea for next week. Trying to beat the market. But he did set his own piece of history as well, Dustin Johnson, last week. He became the first player to win all four current World Golf Championship titles.
Yeah,
which is...
Not even Tiger. We just said Tiger, but Tiger didn't do that, did he?
No.
Shall we leave last week there?
Let's leave last week there, yeah. There's plenty to go at this week.
Yeah, we're going to look ahead to the Shell Houston Open at the imaginatively named Golf Club of Houston.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought that?
No problem with that at all.
No, $6.8 million in the purse for this. $1.2 million to the winner. It's a 7,457-yard par 72. A Reese Jones design, natural lakes and wetlands left in there as well. It's a nice golf course. I think the players quite like it there, don't they, Mike?
Well, it's been set up, Mark, to kind of ape or to mimic Augusta a little bit. It's not identical, obviously, but they're trying to encourage players to play the week before and get used to kind of a course that doesn't have an awful lot of rough, where you can be a little bit more wayward off the tee. I don't think that's the aim, to encourage people to be wayward off the tee, but you know what I'm saying, don't you? The strengths that you need at Augusta, some of them are the same as here. Would you agree, Dave?
Yeah, it does its best fast greens, and it has the shaved runoff areas around the greens, so nothing's ever like Augusta, but that is the kind of selling point to some of the players. Well, you can, I think, hone your game,
hone
and
your
skills
game. I think you make a very good point about scrambling and around the green here is important, isn't it? So and that's the same at that place next week.
And you mentioned that it's kind of similar, so players maybe wouldn't mind playing there. Some players go there to try and get into Augusta as well, don't they? Last 4 years, three of the players that have won this event have then got to go to the Masters. Herman last year, it was Matt Jones in 2014 and Day Points back in 2013. And there is still a spot up for grabs, isn't there?
He's good, isn't he? Should we get him back instead of Dave Kelmer? Research.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, Dave don't bother doing that, does he?
No, he wings it on the... Funnily enough, Mark, the player I've picked needs for that to happen. He needs to win to get in the Masters.
One of mine probably does, I think. Right. I haven't checked, but I think one of mine probably does as well.
I wonder
if
we've got the same man.
Oh, no, Mark. Let's see.
But you've got two picks.
I've got two picks. Am I going first?
Yeah. We'll let you go first, yeah. Shall I spin through the market first? Let's have a go through the betting. Jordan Spieth is 6-1 at the top of the betting. Obviously, a Texan, isn't he? So he'll be wanting a big performance here. Needs it as well after going out in the group stages last week. John Rahm, 10-1. Ricky Fowler is 12s. Henrik Stenson is 14-1. Justin Rose, 16s. 22-1 for Phil Mickelson. Adam Scott, 25s. 28-1 at Russell Henley and 33-1 or bigger prices for the rest. Who's your first pick then, Mike?
My first pick, Mark, is Adam Scott, who likes Texas. He's won here. He won this event in 2007. Hasn't played since that more than twice. He withdrew the year after, then finished 14th in 2010. But he's got a number of wins in that part of the world, down in the Lone Star State of Texas, and comes here in pretty decent form. Do you fancy him at all, Dave? What do you think?
This week? It's a decent price for him, isn't
That's
it?
That's what caught my eye.
Yeah.
Do you know what? He's a player that I don't think I've ever had a draw on in my life, so I'm expecting him to miss the cut this week. But paradoxically, he's very unlucky for me, but I just saw that price.
He's not played a lot of late, and I think one decent performance somewhere in the last two or three weeks, and he'd be around 14, 16, wouldn't he? So 25 just sort of goes, oh, right.
Yeah, that's exactly what my thinking was, Dave. I just thought he played pretty well at the Genesis, the Honda, played quite well in Australia at the back end of last year. Played well in the playoffs, actually, the FedEx playoffs. He played really well in those. He's had 3 weeks off. I think he's coming here, unlike some of the very top names who are honing their game for further Masters. I think Scott will be looking for a decent finish this week. He needs to get his game up to the A game, you know. So 25-1, I just thought each way that makes a lot of appeal. He doesn't probably win as often as he should, But I can definitely see with his game him being there or thereabouts. This course is really strokes, tee to green, gain tee to green, that start that I like a lot. You know, good. It's a real ball strikers course. And that is what Adam Scott really is, albeit his stats this year aren't top notch in that regard. Last year he was outstanding in terms of his ball striking. And really interestingly, he's putting very well this year. He's top 40 on tour for putting this year, which is quite remarkable. So if he can get the putting and the ball striking together in 1 week, I'm quite hopeful. You know, he's 12th on birdie average on tour, which you wouldn't really have Adam Scott down for being that kind of guy. But I think, a winner at the course, if his ball striking is back to normal and he's putting well, that 25-1 makes quite a lot of appeal.
Yeah, I mean, when have you ever seen Adam Scott and Russell Henley 3 points apart? As good as Henley's form is at this course, but generally, as in terms of class, different gravy.
Exactly, Scott. He's top five in the world, Adam Scott. You know, he's a top quality player. Of course, I don't know why he hasn't played here as much. I'm guessing he doesn't like to play the week before a major, and the fact that he's playing this week, I find really interesting. That he's going to hopefully come and, you know, really try and get his game into, you know, get in contention, get the juices flowing. So, I really like that strokes tee to green and approaching the green stats for this week. And, you know, whilst in 2017 he hasn't been at his top in that regard, that is his game inside out. And if he can roll the ball well on the greens as well, he could just look a very good price. I fancy he'll be thereabouts this week.
Okay, Adam's got the first pick from Mike then, 25-1 in the market there. Don't forget, it's six places on offer from an each-way angle at a fifth of the odds. Just one pick for yourself this week, Dave. Tell us who it is.
Yes, I'm going for Billy Horschel.
Are you? You can't go for Billy Horschel after all you've said about him.
I know. That's the player allowed. I always say, when does he ever win? But he's going to win this week. Billy Horschel then.
Mark. Every week he's playing
Billy Horschel. Is that
right? Yeah. Just waiting for the moment to pick it. And it's all the planets are aligned. Well, he needs to win to get into the Masters. Yes, so that's the first big incentive he's got this week. Now, the last time, you say about Adam Scott's not played here, the last time Billy Horschel came here, 2013, he was runner-up. So clearly he can play this course very well. As Mike said, it's a ball strikers course. That's Billy Horschel's game. Billy Horschel, fourth in greens in regulation this year, just to highlight that point. He's another guy who's a real kind of Lone Star State Texas specialist. Look at his last six results in Texas, and they're outstanding. Fourth, 38, third miscut, third, second. So four top four finishes in his last six starts in Texas, four each way payouts. So I think that's really good at 40-1, because I'm happy to take on Spieth. I'd rather back, if I had a free bet, I'd rather put it on Spieth at the Masters than Spieth here.
Agreed.
Because it's just a watered down version of Augusta. Why not just back him at the real thing? Yep. Rahm, I think's tired. I do like Ricky Fowler, I have to say, but I think we've ducked him here, haven't we?
12 is sure, isn't it?
Definitely.
How often he wins.
Yeah. 14's Stenson. So you'd sort of go through the top of the market. I'm not too keen. The only one who is value is Mike's picked him, Adam Scott. So I don't think he's got an awful lot to beat this week, Billy Horschel. And this is a guy who won the FedEx Cup, didn't he? Won it the last two events to win that. And one little other thing I noticed, in scrambling this year, he's between 30 and 40th, but the PGA Tour breaks it down into sort of scrambling types. What he's rubbish at is scrambling from rough. Well, he hasn't got that this week. He's got that shaved area.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this will be playing to his hands, I think. He's proved it before at this course. So put it all together, that incentive of trying to get to Augusta next week. Likes the way he's playing. He came fourth at the Honda recently, 13th in another Florida event. So I think he's got a bit of everything for a 40-1 shot.
Yeah, he was very high on my list, Dave. You know I like him. I think he's due to start winning again. I was just 40s was just a little short for me, but
yeah, I wouldn't have gone any shorter than that.
I was just going to ask you that.
Right on the limit, but I'll play it.
Yeah, I get that. I had three players who were on my mind for this tournament, all of whom were just a bit short, and it stopped me in my tracks a bit. Russell Henley was one who loves this course and is in decent form, but 28-1.
No,
as you rightly said, he's you know, nearly the same price as Adam Scott and Phil Mickelson. And Tony Finau, I think, will play well, but he's 33.
Again, yeah.
You know, so they've been well found by the market, haven't they? So now I can see Horschel having this course suits him, as you say, so he could go very well.
Billy Horschel the pick for Dave then, 40-1. Adam Scott already on the board for Mike there at 25-1. Given what you've just said about the top end of the market, are we going for a bigger price one here, Mike?
We are, Mark. I'm going for a 100-1 shot on Australian. Cameron Smith is my pick in this event. Yeah. Did you think I might pick him? Yeah,
I thought I had a look at him myself. Yeah, I thought he's pickable, isn't he, this week, I think.
Some people will say that he only plays well in tough events, and I think he is kind of suited by Chambers Bay type courses where low score, where it's hard to score low, should I say. But he has got some decent form in events that are around the minus 10 under winning.
Yeah.
So I'm willing to give him a chance there. He's putting ever so well at the moment. He's scrambling very well, which is important here. And, you know, in a couple of his recent events, he's been pretty good tee to green and approaching the green. So that wouldn't be his strength. His greens and regulation stats are pretty awful for the season. But actually, in recent events, he's been showing some good signs. He was 20th here on his debut last year. And he's in just really solid form. Played very well at Bay Hill until the final round, where he was in the top 20 until the final round. Then a 76, where he went to pot on the front nine, dropped him down to 34th. But he's been there or thereabouts in all his recent events. He's a real quality player. I like Australians in Texas, to be fair, because you get a lot of wind,
Definitely.
But the reason I picked two Australians this week, but that's how it ended up. But I think there might be other courses coming up soon that might suit him slightly better than this. But I just think at treble figure odds, I think he's a quality player, putting ever so well, scrambling ever so well. And that debut here last year was very intriguing. He'll be desperate to win this week, I would guess.
All right, Cameron Smith then, 100-1, a three-figure price in the betting there. I've just noticed Lee Westwood's in the lineup as well. I think this is his first tournament in the US since moving back to England. So he's 80-1 in the market there. Could you give him a chance, either of you?
Not to win.
But that's not the worst price in the world. It's a decent each way price, 80-1. He's not the consistently Westwood that we used to, but he pops up every so often, doesn't he? He was runner up in last year's Masters, so he can play this sort of
course. I was hesitating there slightly because I had in my mind to look at him for some bets for Augusta next week, depending on how he plays here, because he might well be overpriced to win it. Sorry, not a great price to win it.
Yeah.
But that then leads into his top 20 and 10s prices being better. So he could be there. He plays Augusta very well, doesn't he? I can't quite see him winning it. But it'd be interesting to see how he does this week. He's a great ball striker.
Mm. Let's move on to players that we don't want to win this week then. Dave, who would you not like to see lift the trophy here?
Probably Fowler, because we've ducked him at 12s.
Yeah,
I think obviously Mark had said taking the same view. He does fancy Fowler this week, so I'd be a bit of a shame if I hadn't put him up in the podcast.
Another shortish player. I thought Henrik Stenson was interesting at 14s. He's got an amazing
good record
here, and he's just been a little bit up and down with injuries and one thing and another. But his form is decent when he finishes. You know, he has had a couple of back problems and something else as well, hasn't he? So do you want to take a risk at 14s? I backed him a month or so ago and he withdrew, but he absolutely loves the course. I think he's another one that will be very focused on this week because he doesn't play Augusta very well.
No, it's not his thing, is it?
So I can't see he's going to be holding anything back.
No.
He'd be at the top of the market. That 14-1 Stenson did have some appeal for me. He absolutely loves it here. So runner up last year, for example. So he was the one for me, Mark. I should mention, by the way, there's two or three big price ones that I thought were worth an interest. Or worth a mention, should I say. Luke List at 100-1 has a lot of the right criteria for here and he's under the radar a little bit, but playing nice golf and his game fits this course. Ditto probably Cameron Tringali, who is another one who was a real course specialist. He's a decent price, Tringali, 125, yeah?
Yeah.
Can't quite see Lucas Glover getting over the line to win, and 50-1's an appalling price to do that. But he could be interesting in top 10s, top 20s.
We'll get that top 10 market up, Mark. And there's one I quite like.
Top 10 finish here, 4-6 Jordan Spieth.
Lucas Glover there for a minute.
No, I'm just going through the top end of the market. 4-6 Jordan Spieth, John Rahm 11-10, Henrik Stenson 11-8, Ricky Fowler 6-4, 13-8 for Justin Rose, Phil Mickelson is 11-5, 9-4 Adam Scott, 3-1 JB Holmes, and Russell Henley 7-2 by those.
Can we find Ryan Palmer?
We can try.
He's going to be around tens, nines, tens.
Yeah, 9-1.
9-1, the last one. Why couldn't they have made him tens? Anyway, 9-1. He's another, he's from Texas, and you look at his Texas record, he's had 6 top tens in his last 10 Texas starts, and he's spread them around all the 4 tournaments played there.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think he might go well. If you look at his bear form, it looks a bit poor, but he was the halfway leader at the Honda Classic and just fell away on the weekend. And I read some quotes where he said he's completely changed his putting. He went to Dave Stockton because his putting was horrible, and he reckons he's completely cured it.
Right.
He said he's flowing as good as it ever has. So maybe back on home soil, 9-1. He tied 7th a couple of years ago in this.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he's not quite ready to win, but 9-1 for a top 10, given the fact that he's had 6, you know, his strike rate is better than 50%.
Yeah, no,
you've
always got to have a look at Ryan Palmer in Texas, haven't you? So that's interesting.
Yeah.
If he could... Because he used to be a decent putter, so he just
lost his way a bit.
So that could be a really interesting change. But yeah, there's a few. It's a good pipe opener for the big one next week. It's as we say, it's on a course. It's got some similarities. I'm looking forward to the Houston Open this week.
I'm just trying to see a price on Ryan Palmer, first round leader, given that you mentioned how quickly he was out of the blocks and then thirded last time. Just for anybody who wanted to know the price.
Yeah, that's always a good way of doing it, because he might be able to do it for a round or something. Yeah, that could go all right. Yeah. We don't know tee times yet.
You might want an early one if it gets windy in the afternoon, which it sometimes does in Houston. That wind can be quite a big factor here, can't it?
Yeah.
So, an intriguing event. So, yeah.
It's definitely one of the side markets you could look to play Ryan Palmer in.
Okay, but in terms of main bets then, we'll just summarise.
Yeah.
Adam Scott and Cameron Smith for yourself, Mike.
Amron Scott and Cadams. I don't know what I'm saying. Adam Scott, I'll have a point each way mark at 25-1. Cameron Smith, I'll have half a point each way at hundreds. It's a little bit speculative, the Smith bet, because, you know, he's obviously treble figures for a reason, isn't he? Mm. But I couldn't leave him out this week. Adam Scott has never been very good to me. So, Adam, come on, this week I need you to change the habits of a lifetime.
Billy Horschel for yourself, what's your staking plan there?
Yeah, I'll go a point each way, Billy Horschel at 40s. And I think I'm going to go 2 points on Ryan Palmer to have a top 10 at nines.
Oh.
Just he's had 6 in his last 10. Yeah. It's a very good strike rate, isn't it?
Odds on, yes. He should be odds on. Yeah.
I'll argue that.
Great, good stuff. Let's finish off with Twitter handles. Mike, do you just want to, anybody wants to get in touch with you? How do they find you?
Yeah, well, I'll probably, the senior tour's looking really good this year, Mark, and there's an event this week in Mississippi, I think it is. Might have got that wrong, but there is an event this week, which I'm going to have a good look at, and I might tweet at M. Grenham if I have any bets there, and also on this event, and over the next week, we'll be boring people to death on Twitter with our master's opinions, no doubt. Yeah.
What's your Twitter handle there, Dave, just for any listeners that don't know it?
Yeah, I'm Dave Tyndall Golf. Again, something to bear in mind this week, if you fancy someone for the Masters and he starts playing well, quickly rush and get your Masters bet on, because it'll go. That's what happens, isn't it? They play well. Even if they just lead after round one, they can sometimes be chopped.
Who would you be most likely to think that could happen to, Dave, yourself? Is there anyone that you'd be watching out for if they play well?
Possibly Adam Scott, you know.
Mm.
Have we got Adam Scott's Masters odds? I think it's pretty similar, isn't it?
He's 25 for the Masters.
And 25 for this.
Pass winner, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
If he's leading at halfway, that will go down, won't it, to 20s, 16s, even if he has a big week. So he's one to keep an eye on. You could maybe Phil Mickelson could go down as well.
Yes, he's 25s for the Masters. Yeah, he could.
Fowler, another one. Basically, any of the big guns who aren't the absolute in that top five in the betting who have a big week here, they will get trimmed. So you need to just sort of watch the leaderboard a little bit, otherwise you could get caught out.
150-1 Billy Horschel.
Oh, is he in there?
It's in the betting.
Right.
That's interesting, isn't it? Get your money back if he doesn't qualify.
Yeah. Good.
That's a bet for you, Dave.
Can't win there, surely. He'll become mine yet. Well, he did win back-to-back, didn't he? So if he wins here...
That's what I mean, yeah. And if he doesn't win here, he doesn't get in.
No.
That's right, isn't it?
I believe that is the case, yes.
I'll check that out first. That is the case. Unless he has qualified, but I don't think he has he?
No, that's what I've read. And then next week, just to let everyone know, is Dave Kellner away? Is still in Vegas?
Yes.
Yeah.
unless he's going to blow his money.
We're looking for a report from him.
Isn't he coming live?
He might well be live.
Sin City.
There's every possibility that he'll be live.
We'll try and get him hooked up on Skype.
Yeah.
from somewhere over there.
Yeah, it'll be a good week.
Yeah, so, and there'll be loads of markets to attack, won't there, and get stuck into.
Do you think we'll be talking about Tiger Woods, who was in the betting at 80-1? Surely he's not going to play, is he? What's the latest on that?
I know he's trying his hardest to get ready, but...
Can't see it, can
don't
you?
I know.
No.
We'll see.
Well, thank you very much, guys.
Thank you, Mark.
It's been a pleasure. Yeah,
cheers.
Thank you for that, Mark.
Good luck for this week, and obviously everybody needs to tune in next week as well, when we'll be getting the picks for the Masters from these two guys as well. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Golf Podcast. Good luck if you're having a bet this week, and enjoy this week's golf action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.